Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. My answers are posted every week on Mondays, and you can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask me, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. A long question which I'm excerpt. A woman seems passionate about kissing me, sex, spending time together, talking about intimate things. She gives all sorts of verbal and nonverbal indications that she likes me. Then she broke up with me and refuses to give any explanation. By accident, I find out that just before the peak of our relationship, she wrote in her diary her fantasies about breaking my heart. Then I remembered that she occasionally enjoyed seeing other people get hurt too. Would you call this a split personality? Does she realize the contradiction? What is the matter with her? That's a good question. Something certainly is. I mean, assuming the presentation is accurate, which I have to assume, I wouldn't say she's a split personality. She's too purposeful and consistent. And you indicated it's not unique to you. You know, a real split personality is, if you saw the three faces of Eve in the movie, or she'd be three different people and one segues into the other, and neither one has any recognition of the other two. Moreover, she's not even evasive on this level. She knows perfectly well what she's doing. She tells her diary, I'm deliberately taking action that deceives him so I can break his heart. So so far from being split, is an integrated person in regard to this category of action. What she's integrated by is obviously only one emotion, and that is hatred and the pleasure that comes from destroying what you hate. And I can't tell you what she hates. Now I'm afraid it would be her father or her mother or men in general or you in particular or people in general. I mean, if you're going to hate irrationally, there's a lot of things that you can hate. The way you present it, her life is revenge, is lashing out at presumably a hostile world. So that'd be a perfect example of nihilism. But, you know, on a less ambitious scale, she doesn't want to destroy all literature like James Joyce or all education like John Dewey. She just wants to destroy you. I see that as one personality, 100% evil. If it's true, she led you on and wrote a fantasy. You actually saw that she was enjoying setting you up because how miserable you would be. That is a very rare person. But they are just as rare as they are evil. And you have to run from her. I would even move geographically. Not even let that factor of that person continue to have any connection to your life. I think unless you make a really strong break, you're going to start doubting every girl that you go out with. You know, well, I so much trusted this one. What is this one doing, etc.? But there you have to remember skepticism. A skeptic says, we've made mistakes, therefore you can't trust any future conclusion. And that's wrong because you have to have evidence about the future conclusion. And mistakes in the past are not evidence about a person in the future. Take that into account. Don't ever see her again or her friends. Take off as self-preservation. When, if ever, is it appropriate for someone to refer to Ayn Rand as Ayn? I think that it's inappropriate unless one had personal knowledge and familiarity with her, and my friend thinks that when talking about her personal life, it is accepted. Well, certainly, back in the day where I learned human interaction, did not call a person by their first name if you didn't have a personal relationship, not even after they were dead. That was like the equivalent in English or the French using tu instead of vous, the intimate. But I'd have to say, I don't think that's a big issue because she died long ago. People are much more informal now. It doesn't mean so much if people call you by the first name. I now on this Facebook page, well, I don't go on it, but I have someone do it. I said, feel free to call me Leonard instead of Dr. Prekop, whenever you want. She would not have liked it, that's for sure. But I don't think anymore it's a significant issue. I don't know if I ever told you the story of how I came to call her by her first name. It was because of a mispronunciation on my part. There was four people driving in a car to upstate New York. Of course, that's before Atlas. I had never read it or knew anything about it. But the other people were talking about it, and I heard the word Dagny. And I uttered this sentence to her from the back seat. Is that the heroine? Now, I meant heroine, but I didn't know how to pronounce it in those days. So I said, heroine. And she said, certainly not. And she went into that, and thereafter, I just continued to call her Ayn. It wasn't an issue, and that was quite early in our acquaintance, but if I had thought in advance, I never, never would have dared to do that. So it shows you that ignorance is bliss sometimes. In the light of your new book and current cultural trends, would you call religion evil? Well, religion as such, no. And because it is a primitive form of philosophy, which I believe could not have been avoided at the beginning of the species. And as Ayn Rand said, it's earlier than we think. So we see what's going on among the voters in this country and the scientists who embrace Christian contradictions, that statement is even more carried out. Religion, I would say, is mistaken. It has very bad consequences. If it takes over a culture, it's a disaster. But it is, in my opinion, not as bad as nihilism. The only thing worse about it is it can last for centuries, whereas nihilism can't. Now, I would say the leaders of religious movements, the intellectuals, the philosophers, the popes, the hierarchy, those people are definitely evil because they are spreading poison. And they, having plunged themselves into the ideas of the religion, know perfectly well or can know the extent to which they have to evade to promulgate it. But the ordinary person, I would not say, is evil. He just simply is accepting what he's taught without thinking. Oh, you know, this is similar to a question, but a little different. It's asked by a 16-year-old boy. And again, I'm condensing it. He was passionately in love with the girl, had an affair, and eventually she broke it up for another man. He asked her friend why, and the friend said, because you have no job, no education, no car, and so on. So he went away, resolved to straighten the situation out. He would stay away for 4 or 5 years, and he remade himself. He now makes $100,000 a year. He's read 50 or more books and understood them. He's built up his body, etc. He's now 24, and he's got all the things that the friend said she wanted. He's tried other women. In fact, he says many. I don't mean that he slept with them, but he's got to know hundreds, as his word, of women, and they all leave him cold. They leave him empty. He's obsessed with this first girl. He's angry at her for throwing him over. And where should he go from here? Well, you have to fight the obsession, which is what it is. The obsession, which is what you have, is an unreasoning attachment or commitment to something which has grasped your soul and your inside and your emotions, and which no matter what you do, you're in the grip of. And you have to do that by a certain amount of intellectual understanding. The first thing is, you have to look at the friend's explanation that pushed you into 4 years of making money and going to reading books. If that were a true explanation, then she didn't love you. She wanted money and a nice car, etc. Is that what you wanted? Is that all that you wanted? Because you can find a lot of girls who will find out your income and so on, be very happy. Love, actual love, that is the meeting of the two souls in the way we've often explained, cannot be erased by a reduction in your socioeconomic status, nor can it be brought about by an increase in your money, etc. So you better make up your mind that she didn't love you. You did not have a love affair. She had some kind of sexual desire, but she found somebody else, and that's it. So where do you go from here? First of all, it's wrong for you to be angry at her, even if she had those reasons. Once she left you, she has the right to go to somebody else. She didn't want you. You didn't give her what she wanted. You didn't know that. So she went elsewhere. You can't be angry at that. It's her life. You remade yourself, but you remade yourself for another person. And that you cannot do. You have to choose what you did, the remade life, because that's what you independently want. Not because, well, I'll make myself into what she wants. If you independently want it, then you can use that as a basis to go on. But if that is all simply something that you acquire so you can then go back to her and say, see, I am what you want, it will do you no good. So try and break your connection to her, remembering that she's not in love with you. And that you put all this effort into creating something of value, it should be of value to you. And then you go out and see, maybe you can find somebody else. It's very hard to give up someone that you're passionately in love with when they say no. Unrequited love is one of the most painful experiences possible because you're vulnerable, you're from the soul, you're from the heart, and you're basically slapped in the heart, and it's a whole art and science, which philosophy doesn't possess, had to go to psychology, how to overcome if you seriously were in love and you really are rejected. So I wish you good luck, but it can be done. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peikoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most famous novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Thanks for listening.